Scriptures. I'm going to be looking at Psalm 100 this morning. 150 Psalms in our Psalter in the Old Testament, and we're looking at number 100 this morning and looking at a short 1 to 5 verses. And I've entitled the message this morning, Thanks Be to God, My Father. A tourist came to a small hick town in Saskatchewan. I'm saying Saskatchewan because my in-laws are here. He came to Saskatchewan and horse town, very small, one little grocery store. He decided to pull up, look for something to snack on the road. And he noticed that there was an old gentleman rocking in a rocking chair on the veranda of this grocery store. And he noticed right away a curious thing. This old man was holding a little piece of rope. It's about maybe a foot long, and he was holding it in his hand. Out of curiosity, the tourist asked the local, he said, So what's with the rope? Why are you holding that rope? And the old man says, Well, it helps me tell the weather. The tourist said, Well, how's that? And the old man said, Well, don't you know? When it waves back and forth, it's windy. And when it's wet, it's obviously been raining. Well, when we think of what is obvious, really we need to look at this Psalm 100, in thanksgiving to God. It tells us to be thankful and rejoice in God. Let's look at it this morning, Psalm 100. And I'm going to be reading those 5 verses for you. It says there at verse 1, Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever, forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Well, this psalm states the obvious to us. It's a psalm that really is a kind of a conclusion, I guess, from Psalm 96 to 99, speaking of praising God and exalting God, but also praising God in way of the king's need to exalt God and all that the king has in way of blessings from God. And then Psalm 100 is kind of a hymnotic conclusion to those chapters 96 to 99 and then Psalm 100. So this morning, as you look at your bulletin and its outline this morning, I'd hope you will follow along. We're looking at the first 2 verses, Shout for joy to the Lord. Shout to joy for the Lord. What a shout of joy looks like is important to us. A shout of joy is something that's usually quite spontaneous. It isn't something that you prepare for. Get some things together and decide at a certain time, I'm going to shout for joy at this moment. It's not something like that. It's something visceral that comes from the very core of your being. The best I can liken it to this morning is, and I had to bring a prop this morning, a football game. When a touchdown is made in a football game, I don't know if you knew this, that the BC Lions played yesterday. None of you guys are football fans. They actually lost, unfortunately, 29-26 to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. A sad story, but to rejoice is when your football gets passed and you end up in the end zone. And the receiver catches it and maybe darts and evades some of those linebackers, those big brutes that want to take him down. And he runs into that end zone. And once he passes that end zone line, his whole demeanor changes. It's something visceral, something guttural, and he wants to do some kind of celebration. Sometimes they throw their arms up in the air and they wave them around, and then they do some kind of little dance. You know, I was trying to get Anthony to learn us a jig from Ireland. You know, I kept telling him to learn a jig when he comes back, but he hasn't showed me his jig yet, so I'm waiting for it. The football player does some kind of dance, you know, and waves his hand, and then sometimes he takes a football and slams it down in the... I'm glad it went back there. Not that we... just missed the guitar, so we're good. Slams the ball down on the ground. He's elated. Something visceral. But really, if we look at this Psalm 100, shout for joy to the Lord, we see it as a verb, shout. But there's an object. There's to the Lord. It's an object that is the reason for the verb. We shout because of the Lord of all the earth. That's the reason we shout. You know, there's the cause and effect. The touchdown is made, and then the elation. So when we think of our lives, when we think of this shout for joy in the Lord, why is it that as Christians, sometimes we walk around with these long faces and so serious all the time and so focused. You know, where is that joie de vivre, okay, for you French? Joy of life, you know? The spirit within us that has a sense of joy and optimism, especially on this Thanksgiving Sunday. Well, I think we have a few problems when it comes to this welling up of joy in our lives. Maybe it's the fact that we don't see the victories. We don't see those touchdowns for the Lord. We don't see those things being accomplished in our own lives. I was at the baptisms last night, and I saw numbers of us get up and celebrate what God had done in their hearts and their lives. It was a great evening as four of our young people stepped forward and Pastor Joe dunked them under the water, and they came up and celebrated what God had done and is doing in their lives. But how does it look when we go day by day, week by week? Another little story for you. There was a grade 2 student, and she had just come off a roller coaster ride and was trying to explain this to her grade 2 class. And the teacher said, well, that's wonderful. Why don't you draw a picture of that incident? And the grade 2 student said, no, I can't do that. I can't. And the teacher says, well, why not? Why can't you draw a picture of this wonderful roller coaster ride that you just went on? And the girl said, well, I'm ashamed to say that I closed my eyes the whole time I was on the roller coaster ride. So I didn't see anything. I just, you know, went on the roller coaster ride. And isn't that true so much of our own lives, is we don't have our eyes open to the fact and the reality of the victories that God is accomplishing in our lives? How do we do that? How do we open our eyes wide that we can indeed shout for joy and praise God? Sometimes, you know, because of cultural reasons, we're a little bit more laid back and more staid in way of, you know, maybe praising the Lord or rejoicing, you know, doing one of, yes, yes, you know, or whatever our, you know, jig is that we want to accomplish. But the fact of the matter is that we don't look to those things that God is doing and accomplishing and then rejoicing in them. We can take joy if we keep our eyes open and not close to the things that God is accomplishing. To rectify this, I think that we need to set aside time in our lives to focus upon God, because sometimes we get so distracted, don't we? We distract ourselves with entertainment, you know, taking our minds off our busyness, and we just want to chillax. But the fact of the matter is we need time to soak in God's word and God's truth. We need time to reflect and rejoice in what God has accomplished. And even this morning in asking you, you know, turn to your neighbor and say what you're thankful for. Maybe your mind was whirling, what am I going to say? You know, what? A shake their hand and you're still kind of looking for something. You know, we need to be people that continually look for those things that we're thankful over, that we can rejoice in. We need to set our minds and our hearts on remembering what God is accomplishing in our lives. We need those little reminders that tweak us all the time to say, what is positive? What is good? Well, secondly, know that the Lord is God in verse 3 here. Know that the Lord is God. It says, sounds pretty basic or foundational, I think, for us as Christians to know God, know that there's a God. But it isn't so much as a given as we might initially think. Knowing God is more than knowing about His existence, that He is real. It surmises that God is most important to us. Verse 3 says that He has made us and that we are the sheep of His pasture. That He has made us and that we are the sheep of His pasture. That makes God highly important to us, highly significant. If God is both our creator and owner, then there's no one more important to us than God. Three professionals were trying to call attention to their own importance. And they were doing this by saying how their profession was most initially recognized and being the oldest profession going. And so the surgeon said, Eve was made from Adam's rib, and that was certainly a surgical operation. The other professionals nodded. The architect said, well, prior to that, before the rib was taken out of Adam, there was, of course, order made out of chaos. That is certainly an architectural thing. Order made out of chaos. A politician, not to be outdone, said, well, you realize, don't you, that creation came out of chaos, and you realize where chaos came from. It was a political thing. This isn't to dissuade us from not voting this week, but it's to show that often we think in our lives of what is most important. What do we draw on in saying, what are we gearing ourselves for? What's life all about? God says it to us, He's our maker. He's our owner. If such is the case, God is certainly the most important in our lives. Knowing God speaks of a relationship with God, more than just a tacit nod of the head. It's more so acknowledging that He is all that we should be concerned about in all of our affairs. It's a life-changing effect upon us when we acknowledge God's importance to us and believing that God speaks to us and that we can indeed speak to God and have this kind of relationship going on in our lives is highly important. God is indeed involved in our lives. What does that look like? Well, that involves us engaging with God's holy word, seeking His Holy Spirit to direct us and to move us, because He's always speaking and spoken to us through His word. If we would but open its pages and read and direct ourselves to God and say, God, what do you want me to do with this? When I was a young Christian, I had a younger brother. I became a Christian when I was a teenager, oldest of four kids in our family. And my next youngest brother is a year and a half younger than me. And we were constantly at each other. We're always very competitive with each other. And since I was the older brother, my way usually went the way it was supposed to go. So we had this really comfortable easy chair that sat in front of the TV. And anytime I came in the room and the TV was being watched and my brother Ron was sitting there in the chair, I would say to him, "Ron, out of the chair." And he would, you know, tell me, you know, what he thought of that, and I would pull him out and I would sit down in the chair and he'd have to sit on the floor. And that went on for years. That was our standard way of dealing with the chair. When I became a Christian, God spoke to my heart and said, "Larry, you ought to love your brother." And I thought to myself, what does that mean, love my brother? I happened to be sitting in the chair watching a TV program. My brother came into the room. I jumped up out of the chair and offered him the chair. His jaw dropped. What happened? What's wrong with you? I wasn't the same guy. And he realized that something had changed in my life. I was no longer moving according to what I thought was best, but what God thought was best. He had spoken to my heart and changed my life, that I wanted to respond differently in my life. This is how God works within us, speaks to us, and we speak back to God in the actions and the words of our lives, communicating to Him our love for Him and our acknowledgement that we know Him, that He is indeed our owner, that He is indeed our maker. When we see that, when we know that, we want to be completely different people. Enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart, it says in verse 4. Enter His gates. Gates are entry points. Courts are the place in the temple where the Jewish people worship God. Those were the places where they would bring their offerings to God. And they would adore God because of the great things that He had done. It says, "Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxiously looking about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Today, don't dwell on those things that are negative, but dwell on those things that are positive and good in your life. We need to look and be thankful for all that God has blessed us with. And I know today we have much that contravenes that in the media. I love news. I'm a news junkie. Almost every night you can find me tuned into the National, CBC, watching Peter Mansbridge pontificate about all the things that are wrong with Canadian society and the world. And what's going wrong with our world is really, people aren't getting out and voting. But actually, did you know that the stats are out that we're having a huge number of people out to the polls this year? And it's amazing that people are more tuned in to the issues. So I see that being turned around, but to turn things around, we need to see things in more a positive light, looking at those things which are good and wholesome and speaking those out, celebrating them. Again, Psalm 100 says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know the Lord is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. I'm going to welcome up those that are serving communion this morning. Would you prepare your hearts for taking of the elements today to remind us again of God's goodness to us, giving us His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for Him, for us, for all of us, us individually, but us as a church. We celebrate that today. Folks, as we come to the communion table, I remind you that you take these elements only if you are a believer in what Jesus Christ has done for you individually. If you do not believe in the work that God has done for your hearts and your lives today, I ask you to kindly let those elements pass you by. And for the rest of us, I ask you to take those elements in hand and wait till all have received. And then once all have received, then we'll be standing together and partaking of the elements together. All right, let's bow our heads and thank God again for His blessings upon us. Lord, make us truly thankful for what we are about to receive again, to remind us of Your great love upon our hearts and our lives today. Lord, we take of these elements and we pray that You would give us a heart of rejoicing and in celebration of all that is good within us, without us. And we commit ourselves to You again afresh by taking these elements today, proclaiming that You indeed are God, and we rejoice in You. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name.